You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
gonna do?
Do you really think that
do you think it all? Yeah.
I've never met kids about
ain't
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God. For all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
About that mix up, family. Good morning. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi Hotep, family. Hope you're going to have a good weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do, hoping to weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, it will get done because you will do it. We appreciate you for that. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archive. Just go to timeforanawakening.com. When you go to timeforanawakening.com, you look at the page. At the top, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. In the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Yes. Believe me, I appreciate that from Brother Kwaku. See, we got another glitch in this thing, but it's all right, man. We're going to get it together. I hope we able to record this program. We've been having some problems, but that's how the technology is. But I had a good meeting yesterday with Brother Kwaku. Yes, sir. And so it's going to be all good in the future. Yes, sir. This is going to be a Yo Show Friday. My guest, he couldn't connect, and so we're going to do what we always do. We don't do announcements too much anymore. We do about once a week, but we still want to support those businesses and entities that support us, no doubt. So this is the lineup for Time for an Awakening. This program, once again, is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., all times at Eastern Times. On Mondays and Wednesdays, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. On Thursday, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Thursday, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club on Thursdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., today's Friday, well, at 8 p.m., you're going to you'll have the experience of a Time for an Awakening time for an awakening this evening at 8 p.m. with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., Pinckney to Pinckney with activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, from 5 to 6. And then at 7 p.m., time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. The Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. March 20th. The captive that kills his captor practices an act of legitimate self-defense. Ashe. I don't use the word slave, and I show no hand. I ain't going to use the word master. So I use captive. We have been captive. We are captive. And the cracker is the captor. So the captive that kills the captor practices an act of legitimate self-defense. And this word thing, I'm going to probably wait till April to do a piece on words, because I'm really getting tired of this. Getting tired of when we say a word and, you know, what we really mean is this, and what that word has multiple meanings and so forth. You know, just like Ozzie Davis said, the English language is my enemy. No doubt. Louis Gama gave that quote, the captive that kills his captor practices an act of legitimate self-defense. Ashe. Violence is always the last resort, but it does not become the last resort or the last choice after repeated and unreasonable aggressions by the others. It becomes the last resort in each aggression, not the last aggression. The very first aggression, you strike. Time. You don't wait for the last. No. And each, you haven't, because by the time you really strike and then you've been hit upside the head so many times. But let me finish reading with Baba Baruti. It's narrative because it's always sound. I was always taught that you don't hit first. You stand your ground, but you do not strike your opponent first. However, once your opponent strikes you, you have the human right and responsibility to use whatever force is necessary to arrest the threat. Sometimes this takes a simple blow. Sometimes it requires breaking a bone or rendering someone unconscious. If push comes to shove, it can even call for dealing with death. This is the reality of a powerful, unyielding love of one and one's people, humanity. The main problem with us using the don't hit first logic is that it is the most serious problem when we as African people are dealing with Europeans, is that they have struck us again and again and again without an effective or in many cases, any response. In fact, they have struck us that first blow so many times already that it appears that we have become so numb from their blows that we can't tell that they're still hitting us. How many first blows do they have to deliver before we realize that they long ago crossed the retaliatory line and deserved that ass whooping we should be giving them? Dr. Clark said, white man deserves a good ass whooping. He sure do. You can't talk peace in the heat of battle, and you can't wait for the first blow if that blow will kill you. There is no returning to the battlefield from death, family, and there is no pride in a war falling without taking victims. Affirm, I effectively respond to the first blows. Affirm, I effectively respond to the first blows. March 21st. Commit yourself to positive change in thought and action and start contributing on a consistent basis to the building and maintenance of institutions that are working for the total freedom and independence of all African people throughout the world, and the rebuilding of our modern and independent civilization and culture. Ashe Bantu Saki. As long as there is injustice, there will be warriors. Warriors are not accidents. They are created through circumstance by spirit. They are sent to resolve discord and return righteous order. First to their people, then to this planet. Any lesser end does not bring forth warriors. And an enduring hell, ineffectively dealt with by righteous warriors, only produces wanton killers, tyrants, charismatic barbarians, vainglorious parasites, and other unconscionable misleaders who only leave a warrior's impression. They are not warriors. They are opportunists. Warriors are called. Their end is Ma'at. They restore. Warriors restore Ma'at. In preparation for battle, they are honed in the fires of inhumanity, made fierce by the worst of this insanity's unbearable punishment. Warriors come in their time, not before their time or after. They come in their time. They are brought forth when they are needed. Warriorhood is a calling for which we have no choice. Warriors are compelled by their spirit to do this work. It is a creator-given mission. Their choices only lie in accepting this charge and deciding how to fulfill it. Ashe. Affirm, I am where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do. Ashe. Affirm, I am where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do. Striking a blow for our independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as a people. Ashe. March 22nd, pain is perceived as negative, but as a positive interaction with the body, as it makes the self aware of injury and the extent of the injury. National Shrine of Africans in America. Warriors detest weakness among would-be warriors. However, when those would-be warriors become the majority of a potentially more powerful enemy's army, this detestment can become a distraction and zap the warrior's stamina and will. It is stressful to have to fight your own and the enemy in order to free your own from the enemy. It is stressful to have to fight your own and the enemy in order to free your own from the enemy. When our minds become unnecessarily laden with battles against external enemies, as well as those who should be fighting by our side, but have either turned traitor or apathetic bystander, or energy is drained to our enemy's advantage, we cannot allow ourselves to be sidetracked into a stress-inducing and psychologically arresting frustration over those among us who have crossed over to swell the ranks of our enemies. Those thoughts must not be allowed to dominate even a fraction of our thinking. They destroy the clarity of our vision. Affirm, I learn from pain. Affirm, I learn from pain. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Yes, family, it's a yo show, so jump on that call by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I just said something that, you know, that we really don't do. I mean, yeah, you push, if you push some buttons, you dial. But a lot of times people have a phone and they just push a name. You know, of course, the phone is dialing that number, technically. But you know, here's why dial the phone. Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm going to tell you, them phones from back early on in the 50s and 60s. And, oh, man, you could kill somebody with that phone. Really. Bop somebody upside their head and crack their skull. Yeah. Then the princess phone came along. It was streamlined and so forth. And and other dial-ups came along until finally, you know, when I first came on the fire department, the payphone was a dime. You know, there was a line, I'd drop a dime on your ass, you know. That's what that meant. I'd call somebody up to take you out, drop a dime. So it was a dime, and I used to come to work every day with at least a dollar worth of dimes. Just because I need to make some phone calls or talk smack, whatever. And now there are no more pay phones because everybody's got a phone on their person. Where was I at? Yeah, I went to the doctor the other day for therapy. And everybody, it was so quiet. Walking from where I got off the elevator to where I had to go, which is way down at the other end of the hall. And it was quiet here because everybody was on their phone. Everybody. I mean, there must have been about, I'd say, at least 25 people. Yeah. The cell phone. So. My dear lady sent me a piece. What she sent me, she sent me a number of things. She always does, and I appreciate her. But what she sent me this time was, I can't remember the sister's name, but when George Floyd was murdered, there was eruptions across the country, and there was one here in Atlanta. One here in Atlanta. And this sister had a response to it. And although this is a snippet, because I had the whole thing, but I played a snippet. But I mean, find a whole piece, because the sister was dying, you know, she was on, emotionally charged, and she was on. And in fact, I tried to find out who she was and maybe get her on the program. But then I saw her in a few other things. Yeah, but... What she's saying is on point. Also, too, I'm going to read from News One. News One is a online American-African news piece. And there's a feature here called They Blinded an American-African Soldier. Now They're Blinding America. It was from yesterday, and so we're going to go through that particular piece and then have some discussion. Okay, family? Does that sound all right? Okay, yeah. That's all right.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Okay. Like I said, this sister, she went off. I loved it because you don't get that just from this snippet here, but believe me, she went off because in the longer version or the whole thing that she did, she walks away from the television people and goes to some friends and is consulted because she's emotional. But what she's saying too is that these stores that are in, really, they're not our community. Let's be real. It's where we are. Sometimes it's where they put us. It's where we can only go. You know? And so she's making an issue. You know? Yeah. But I love this sister's spirit. In fact, when I first heard it, I played it, tried to find her, comment on it. But it is, to me, the emotion is raw.
That round of Monopoly was taken from you. That was Tulsa. That was Rosewood. Those are places where we built black economic wealth, where we were self-sufficient, where we owned our stores, where we owned our property. And they burned them to the ground. So that's 450 years. So for 400 rounds of Monopoly, you don't get to play at all. Not only do you not get to play, you have to play on the behalf of the person that you're playing against. You have to play and make money and earn wealth for them, and then you have to turn it over to them. So then for 50 years, you finally get a little bit and you're allowed to play. And every time that the way that you're playing, or that you're catching up, or that you're doing something to be self-sufficient, they burn your game. They burn your cars. They burn your monopoly money. And then, finally, at the release and the onset of that, they allow you to play and they say, okay, now you catch up. Now, at this point, the only way you're going to catch up in the game is if the person shares the wealth, correct? But what if every time you share the wealth, then there's psychological warfare against you to say, oh, you're an equal opportunity hire. So if I played 400 rounds of Monopoly with you and I had to play and give you every dime that I made, and then for 50 years, every time that I played, if you didn't like what I did, you got to burn it like they did in Tulsa and like they did in Rosewood, how can you win? How can you win? You can't win. The game is fixed.
That's right. The game is fixed, family. You can't win. It's not for you to win. Not in their world. That's why I say what I say constantly on this program. This program is about independence, not integration. This is about independence. This program is about self-determination. Not to go along to get along. This program is about liberation, getting away from this madness, liberation. This program is about sovereignty. Nobody, let me read, I got some time today. Let me go read what sovereignty is to make sure that we understand. And I don't know that... The successful outcome of any nationalist movement, any liberation movement, any African movement is sovereignty for the people. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. Right now, as always, for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently and powerfully, we control our resources, our story, our culture, our time, space, and destiny. It is to have the power within the nation to control our lives and to control them in our best interests, regardless of opposition from outside. Accordingly, being sovereign has to mean that there is no one beyond us who makes any decisions about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, how we deal with enemies whether they're aliens or traitors, and how we visualize our future and communicate and express that vision. It means that we are completely and unconsciously self-defining, self-determining, self-respecting, and self-empowered. And since no nation has ever risen to power and stayed there without holding their own traditional sacred, sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, protect, and extend in time through every coming generation who we are as a direct reflection of our ancestors. Sovereignty is our ultimate goal. Sovereignty, family, is the end game. Sovereignty is the end game. I did a program on that. What is the end game? You know, I've done a number of programs. Over 700, family, since I've been on Time for an Awakening, you know. And all of them were geared towards, and all of them were stating the case for us to recapture and restore our minds. It is about the mind, family. It is about our mind. You know, I always use the analogy that the European has put a vice grip on our minds. Many of us are not aware of that tool. Myself, are, you know, by a vice grip and, you know, once you tighten it up in the tension, then you, bam, you clamp it. You cannot pull it apart. The whole purpose of the tool is to set it and keep it set. The only way that you can open the vice grip, there's a knob at the end of the handle that you turn to release the grip that it has and the tension that it has. Acquiring knowledge of self, believing in ourselves, believing in each other, loving and trusting and respecting one another, sharing, caring, protecting our women, our children, our community. All of these things help turn that knob at the end of the handle. And once it is turned to the extent that you can, bam, open up the vice grip, they no longer have a vice grip on your mind. Your mind is free. And your mind thinks in an African way. The spirit of our ancestors have assisted you in freeing your mind. Many jagnas, not mentors. See, that's another reason why I want to have that word program. Got to get rid of these damn words. Many jagnas or jagnaks, it's plural, who are there for us, who will show us, but also to family. There are many of us who that vice grip is firmly, I mean, it is there. And many of them don't want to touch the doorknob. I mean, they don't want to touch that knob at the end of the handle. They don't want to. It requires thinking. It requires doing something outside of Europeans. It requires that some of us have a fear that instead of saying, hey, I don't give a damn. I'll fight this beast if I die right now, here now. For our liberation, for our self-determination, for our sovereignty. I'll fight. But so once that vice grip is released from your mind, understand this, family. No. Hell with trying to impress upon the cracker who put the vice grip on your mind to change their ways. They're not going to do it. It is who and what they are. Let me read this piece. Then I'm going to do a little thing while the break is going on. Maybe I got another piece. If not, I'll just open up the phone lines and you, hey, you talk to me. Let me know what's going on, okay? Yeah. So, yeah, let me do this. This is News One. It's a news program that comes to your internet. It's African centered. You know? Yeah. Okay. They blinded an American African soldier. Now they're blinding America. This is written by Anjouan Seawright and is stated yesterday. There's a picture of a brother and a lady at some kind of function sitting at a table with others. And he has dark glasses on, so I don't know if that is Mr. Isaac Woodward or not, but let's deal with it. When Sergeant Isaac Woodard was riding the Greyhound bus home in Winnsboro, South Carolina on February 12th, 1946, I'm sure there was a lot on his mind After all, at 26 years old, he had just finished serving 4 years with distinction in the Pacific Theater of World War II. The Pacific Theater in World War II was fighting Japan, fighting the Japanese. There he had seen some of the worst and some of the best humanity had to offer. The America he left to fight in this great crusade had only just begun to emerge from the Great Depression, and the rural South was still very much in its grip. But it had been 4 years he'd seen the world change in its constant diet of patriotism and possibilities that had fed an idealism that carried him through the worst of the war and left that hope stirring in his chest as he rode home on the bus. We always wanted to believe that our assistance in all of these wars would benefit us as a people, or even benefit us individually. Of course it would do that. Because once again, what is America about? That's right, family. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That is America. So he's going home, and he was fighting in the Pacific Theater. He was fighting the Japanese, and he distinguished himself. He fight for the opportunity that the Eastern Theater, which was, of course, Germany, and the Western Theater was Japan. So those, they wouldn't win. They wouldn't win. Well, of course, they dropped a bomb, or they dropped two of them, one on Nagasaki and one on Hiroshima, that kind of dealt a severe blow. Yeah. I may mention that one time. I said, you know, they had the bomb. Yeah, why didn't they drop it on Germany? They weren't going to do that. They weren't going to drop it on these white folks. In fact, many of these Nazis, they allowed them to come here. Even though we fought in that arena as well and distinguished ourselves as we always have. They fought, the Germans who were prisoners rode in the cars, you know, that was beneficial. But we rode in cargo cars. I mean, you know, the mistreatment of us is constant and continuous in their world. He's seen the world change for the better. No doubt America would have to change too. But that hope was dashed when the driver stopped in Batesburg, South Carolina, when Batesburg Police Chief Lynn Woodskull arrested, beat, and blinded Woodard, still in his army uniform, simply for asking to use the restroom. One of the officers had even asked him if he was still in the army or had been discharged first. It turns out that assaulting a soldier was and is a felony. But beating an American African, as far as these officers were concerned, was just downright encouraging. 2 years later, on July 26, 1948, Harry S. Truman. And it's just S. There is S. Don't stand for nothing. Just Harry S. Why S. I don't know. Harry S. Truman desegregated the United States Armed Forces Services by signing Executive Order 9981, officially declaring there should be equality of treatment and opportunity for all persons in the armed services without regard to race, color, religion, or national origin. In 1923, Joe Biden celebrated the 75th anniversary of that historic moment, recognizing the countless stories of men and women like Sergeant Woodard, who stepped up to defend liberty and freedom overseas only to face discrimination, oppression, and violence when they return home. Constantly. It doesn't matter. From the very beginning of this violent country's engagements, we fought and we returned to be disgraced, to be humiliated, to be dogged out. Two years ago, Biden honored that history. Today, Trump is trying to erase it. Medgar Evers was an American hero. He was an American African hero. He fought in Normandy, the German side, the east portion of the war, landing during his time in uniform and kept fighting for freedom when he came home. Jim Crow, Mississippi. He went on to become one of the most remarkable and recognized civil rights leaders in America, whose unflinching commitment and sacrifice inspired a generation. He was laid to rest in National Cemetery, Arlington National Cemetery, which used to feature information about Evers on its website. But not anymore, though. Not anymore. They used to have information on its website about prominent American Africans who fought in these damn wars, but not anymore. Today, following Trump's orders to erase all remnants of diversity, equity, and inclusion, Medgar Evers' history has been deleted along with icons like Colin Powell, the Tuskegee Airmen, Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, and more. Even Jackie Robinson wasn't safe. Following Trump's orders, the Department of Defense removed an article about the Trailblazer when its website prompting an outcry that was so loud that they had to put it back. Damn, even Jackie Robinson, oh no, not the cat who integrated baseball and killed the Negro Leagues. Killed all that business that went with the Negro Leagues. Restaurants and hotels, and because we wanted to play ball with the white folk. But as horrifying as it is, I'm not writing to talk about website articles. I'm writing because this is only the latest in MAGA, Make America Great Again. Let me stop right there and deal with this. America ain't never been great. Yes, if I'm a Caucasian and I'm thinking about after World War II, America was great. I came home from the war. I got the GI Bill. I got money for education. They have established a serious middle class. I got a good job. I could save money. My kid's gone to school. He or she is making bigger money. Solidifying. Because, you know, if you don't know, you need to know. The middle class for them and the middle class for us is two different things. There's a huge monetary disparity between middle class Caucasians and we so-called middle class. I mean, huge. I'm talking about thousands, tens of thousands of dollars. Tens of thousands. The mega Make America Great Again. Because in many instances, it was like we weren't there. Yeah, I know some of the 50s TV shows. I mean, I was born in the early 50s, so I watched them. We were always fortunate enough in our family to have a little crack, you know, little TV. So, you know, I watched programs. And, man. Yeah. Mega's mission is to turn back the clock until folks like you and I stop fighting for equal rights and equal treatment and go back to those kitchens and to go back to those cotton fields. This is only the latest in a long line of attacks that include pardoning white supremacists, legalizing employment discrimination, reinstituting private prisons, stopping civil rights investigations, persecutions and police reform, and targeting schools that help disadvantaged students. Just so damn mean spirit, but it's who they are. I don't expect anything less, and I just hate the fact that we do. That somehow we could persuade these folks to respect us and our humanity and the sacrifice that we have made, the things that we have contributed. When you look at all the things that we've done in spite of how we've been treated and mistreated, and still, as Maya Angelou said, and still we rise. And still we rise. Back in the 1960s, the federal government banned segregation facilities from all federal contractors. Trump reversed it. We're talking about segregated housing, water fountains, swimming pools, and lunch counters. What is this? Woolworths? Woolworths. Somebody call us. Somebody call SNCC, y'all. Somebody call the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Somebody call SNCC. Yeah. It's time to get to work. This is about lowering the cost. This isn't about lowering the cost of groceries. It's not even about helping white folks. It is about hurting black folks, pure and simple. And this isn't the same thing, not by a long shot. The mega crowd isn't satisfied with banning books anymore. They want to lock them up in anyone who reads them. They're done pretending the civil rights or the they're done pretending that the Civil War wasn't about slavery. Now they're pretending it didn't exist. For the Make America Great crowd, America hasn't been great since Brown versus Board of Education in 1954. Well, there's a measles outbreak and the White House supports segregation. Looks like we're halfway there. Yeah. Article was written by Aunt Juwan C. Wright. She's a political strategist, founder and CEO of Blueprint Strategy in LLC, and a senior visiting fellow at the Third Way Fellowship. Yeah. So, I may find something else out of News One and read News One periodically. I used to read Final Call and a few other articles. Yeah, especially Atlanta Black Star. Yes, they used to have some good stuff in Atlanta Black Star. Yeah. Man, it's almost that time. But give us a call. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. There's a number of you in the queue, and you know what to do. Hit star twice, Brother Irv. That's right, my dear brother. What's happening, man?
Everything's good, Baba Oshi. You know, I'm sitting here. I'm at the start line just waiting. As soon as you say it, I'll push the button. There you go. I'm on.
That's right.
Baba Oshi, I'm listening to you talk, brother. And I tell you, you say a lot of things that bring us. To inspire me to respond, but then after I think about what you said and you keep talking, it doesn't matter once you get to the end of what you're saying. I mean, what I mean by that is, when you say something about this Donald Trump administration and the Democratic administration, which both of them are two wings of the same dirty bird.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
After a minute, I come all the way back. I keep coming back to us. It's not them. They can take Jackie Robinson out their mind. They can
right.
They can do whatever they want, but it's not about what they do. It's about what we do. And if we, as a people, keep going down the road that we're going down and not breaking the chain, because when I was young, I grew up in the 60s and part mm-hmm. of the 50s. I was born in the 50s. We went to school every day when we got home. What I mean by going to school, we turned the TV on.
Yeah.
And we were indoctrinated.
Exactly.
That was indoctrination.
Exactly.
You know, come on, Baba Oshi.
Mm-hmm.
All white folks, one black person.
Sure.
And still to this day, it was a real show called Big Brother. It was one black person in the house, and everybody else was white. And mm-hmm. that was a reality show. It was one of the first ones to come on.
Okay.
And we
right.
watched that, and then you start in your mind. You always think that white people outnumber you. White people are better than you, and they have more than you.
Mm-hmm.
But then I sit in. I listen to the sister talk about USAID. It's over in Africa, and she says, the Africans are glad it's gone.
Yeah.
USAID was nothing but undercover CIA agents, just like the missionaries came with the Bible mm-hmm. in one hand and stealing the minerals. And they always would say they're building schools and filling the gap that's left in Africa. Ain't no gap in Africa. If you stop raping Africa, Africa wouldn't look like it looks.
Yeah.
But you know, Africa has awakened, brother. We have a shining light in Africa. We have lots of shining light. And
yes,
everyone in Africa is realizing. And this is the part, Baba Oshi. You can keep doing something to somebody until they realize, you know what? I can beat you. You're not as strong as you think you are. And this is what Trump is showing right now. Because I listened last night and learned that Canada and Mexico are partnering up to put tariffs on the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work? Well, I didn't know we get 50% of our crude oil from Canada. We get our liquor from Canada. It's a whole lot of things that we're connected with Canada. And, you know, mm-hmm. I just came in and started a pissing match. And that's fine, because Biden was doing the same thing. He was just doing it on the down low. You know, but this fool, he doesn't know how to – he has to grandstand. He's one of these cats that's I got to be the savior, because, you know, this country lives under a savior complex. Somebody's going to come save you. No, if you want a savior, look in the mirror. If you want a friend, look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you want something done, look to the person in the mirror and do the best you can. You know, so my point is, we have to latch our liberation and our sovereignty and our self-determination onto something that we do every day, which is breathe. If I'm breathing, I'm fighting.
I say.
If I'm breathing, I'm pushing forward. If I'm breathing,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to change this. And it's not easy, Baba Oshi, because, I mean, I get on this radio station with you, and I'm comfortable talking about this. But when you're in a crowd of folk that don't get it, like the lady told me the other day, she was a black woman, older sister, I'm English. You were English? What you mean you English? Yeah, I'm from Guyana, and Guyana, British Guyana,
oh.
and I'm English. And I said that. Because Baba Oshi, you look like a damn fool when you argue with a fool.
Yeah.
You look like a fool when you argue with a fool. And she was proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other older people, they were looking at her like,
yeah.
Wow, you're proud to be English? The English? Did you say the English?
Yeah.
And she thought that she was saying something fantastic. And you leave those people alone, because you were trying to convince her. She's carrying Irugu's water. And if you mess with her, she thinks she's going to spill some of it. Mm. So she'll fight you to keep from spilling it.
Yeah.
So we have to realize that everybody's not going to come. Everybody's not going to come. I was looking today really quickly. I'm going to get off one. I was mm-hmm. looking at how to get dual citizenship for Baba Oshi, Faso, first word.
What a big, anyway, what, the Sahel? Burkina Faso?
No, what's Yeah, Burkina. I said Burkina. Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
I'm Niger
and Mali.
Yeah, I want new. Yeah, the Sahel.
Right.
Alliance of Sahel states. But I'm going to get the dual citizenship, man. And I'm also going to stay focused on the fight that we're in a fight right now, and we've always been in a fight. And if we can't leave at this moment, we have to be in a fighting stance. And I keep saying that because I want people to understand that we're in a fight. It doesn't seem like it. Nobody's trying to push you around. But look at what Trump has done. They in the background planning this 2025. In the background. And now they got it all planned out, and now they're executing it. And now they're on the TV. And when they actually talk to them about it on TV, they act like they don't understand what you're saying. No, that's not really what's happening. No, that's not really what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But Baba Oshie taking white folks' jobs, I don't give a damn if you live in a trailer camp. When you take their job, it's one thing. But when you take their free money, which is their benefits from Social Security, that's when they wake up, because that's what's happening now. They're taking the free, because white folks get welfare, Baba Oshie.
Right.
It's not a majority of black people getting assistance. It's white people. And they're upset with Trump right now because he's taking their money, other than the small percentage of the fools who are willing to give their money to Trump, because, you know, you got people that are following invisible things, you know. Come on now. You got people kissing the Pope's ring, you know, and all this type of foolishness. So people will fall for anything. But my thing is, Baba Oshie, there is a light at the end of this tunnel. We are moving forward. I'm telling you, Baba Oshie, once we get to our homeland, things will not be, it won't be a, it's so great over here. It won't be that great, but by the same token, it won't be as bad as it is here. Because, right. Baba Oshie, the fight is not for your money. The fight is for your mind. And once they get your mind, they don't have to put a cage up to keep you. You'll keep yourself in a cage. They don't have to put a cage. They don't have to teach you nothing. You already colonized, so shoot, I'm English. You ain't English, miss. They don't see you as English. So my point is, Baba Oshie, I think we understand, if you're listening to this radio station, you have some sense of understanding
right.
that we're in a, it's an emergency situation. We're behind enemy lines, and we have to, if nothing else, keep it in your mind what's going on. And then that way, your actions will follow. Baba Oshie, thank you for letting me.
No, you too, brother. Hang on and continue to listen, because I'm going to be saying more stuff, and I always want your perspective, brother. I appreciate you, Irv.
Mute me, man. I'm listening.
All right, brother. Peace. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com and BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us. More on a Yo Show Friday. And I got another one I'm going to read from News One. And, of course, I want your African perspective. Okay? We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
The Blackness. Keep on. Never say die. Never say die. Keep on. Never say die. Never say die.
Sorry about that, fam.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming,
hit the sorry about that, family. Timeforanawakening.com. Distractions. Because I'm trying to do a multitasking, okay? So y'all forgive me? Thank you. Appreciate that. Multitasking, you do a lot of things that you shouldn't do, and some things that you know that you can't do with time constraints, you know. But we do anyway. So, yeah. Well, one of the things I did find for my sister and Kimberly Jones. That's the sister that went off on that rant. So we're going to play a little bit more. It's going to say the same things, believing that the same things that she said. But they were on point. And so let's continue to hear our sister Kimberly Jones.
Homes.com's comprehensive search layers cover an array of environmental factors. With just a few clicks, you can find homes with a low flood, fire, heat, wind, noise, and air factor. Because you don't want to buy your dream home only to find out it's in an area that's risky or just plain noisy. Silence! That's better. Everyone will sleep soundly in a community with a lower sound factor. Want a better search experience? Homes.com has the home search you've been searching for.
Commercials.
How can you win? You can't win. The game is fixed. So when they say, why do you burn down the community? Why do you burn down your own neighborhood? It's not ours. We don't own anything.
I think the most oh my God, was LeBron James. Madonna and Trevor Noah and was watching Oprah's town hall the other day, and Oprah said that Ava sent it to her, and it's like just the idea that Oprah and Ava DuVernay are having a conversation about my video is like, what is happening to life?
We must never forget that economics was the reason that Black people were brought to this country. If I right now decided that I wanted to play Monopoly with you, and for 400 rounds of playing Monopoly, I didn't allow you to have any money. I didn't allow you to have anything on the board. I didn't allow for you to have anything.
So I had taught a workshop on economics, and I used Monopoly in order to teach them how to build wealth. This thought came into my mind of like, what if you weren't allowed to play, but you had to play on someone else's behalf? And my mind instantly made that connection to what happened, you know, during slavery and also during the civil rights movement. So you play 400 rounds of Monopoly on behalf of someone else, and then they release you. And then at that point, now it's up to you to build your own wealth, even though you've already built their generational wealth that they can pass down from generations. And so people did that.
That was Tulsa. That was Rosewood. Those are places where we built Black economic wealth, where we were self-sufficient, where we owned our stores, where we owned our property, and they burned them to the ground.
The Greenwood area of Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is referred to as the Black Wall Street, was an all-Black community that was thriving, that had successful businesses, that was generating a huge amount of income in the Black community, and they were basically bombed.
If you didn't like what I did, you got to burn it like they did in Tulsa and like they did in Rosewood. How can you win?
How can you win when you've been stripped of everything? I mean, Black Americans, we've even been stripped of our names. We can't even track back our heritage. So the thing is that what a lot of allies ask, what can I do? What can I do? What they have to do is recognize that white supremacy is not a Black issue that they should show empathy for, but it's a white issue that they need to correct.
There's a social contract that we all have that if you steal or if I steal, then the person who is the authority comes in and they fix the situation. But the person who fixes the situation is killing us. So the social contract is broken.
The brutalization of Black people in this country, whether you're talking about the death toll and the murders, or you're talking about the economic disparagement, whether you're talking about the unjust, you know, criminal justice system, whether you're talking about the school to prison pipeline, the amount of atrocities that we have endured and continue to endure, most people would be looking for revenge. All we're looking for is our equality.
You broke the contract when for 400 years we played your game and built your wealth. You broke the contract when we built our wealth again on our own by our bootstraps in Tulsa, and you dropped bombs on us. When we built it in Rosewood and you came in and you slaughtered us.
The reason why people here are so upset and so angry is because people are unaware of the daily indignities that happen. So if you want to say that Black lives matter, we have to deal with not just what's happening in Black deaths. We have to deal with what's happening in Black lives.
Ashe, Kimberly Jones family. Yeah. The piece, that's a piece of her explaining, you know, what she did and how she did it. And but there's a piece that about the rant itself that's kind of long. And I love it. I love her spirit. Right on. Right on. So here we go with... News One, surviving Trump. The dystopian nightmare that haunts us is finally here. Trump and his Trumpolians are set to take office, and the dark clouds are looming. The air you feel on the back of your neck, that cold air that makes you hunch your shoulders up, is the feeling of dread we know awaits us, or the refusal to believe that climate change is real. But you get the point. Yeah. The United States has made its choice, and that choice is for xenophobia, racism, sexism, anti-LGBTQRFTUVWXYZ rights. America's choice is to try its damnedest to make America a lot like the Jim Crow South during the Civil Rights Movement. At this point, I fully expect to see whites-only water fountains, and I ain't joking. The brother said, I ain't joking. I think America underestimates the level of hate that is this administration has for people who don't look like them. And the destruction of America as we know it has already begun. And this isn't hyperbole. That's calling a thing a thing. The incoming Trump administration has already threatened to shut down institutions like the Department of Education, the IRS. The future president has, I mean, this president, and once again, I don't call him the president, I just say Trump. Trump has threatened to go after political rivals and news programs that have been critical of his buffoonish candidacy. He's called for mass deportation. A push to destroy the rights across the board, and even plans to end sensible gun sensible gun safety laws. But tell me more about egg prices, please. And don't worry, Democrats even fell for the prices and so damn high. Now that they aren't high, but let's be clear. This election was never about high prices, and all of us fell for it. It would be at this moment in the Orwellian play of our lives. Why won't white women just leave the football, Charlie Brown? Dr. King looks over at Harry Belafonte and says, I fear I'm integrating my people into a burning house. Ashe. At this point, it is important to look at two truths that can't be escaped. America voted to destroy itself, or as Adrian Bott tweeted, and Francisca Ramsey made famous through her through the song, I Never Thought That the Leopards Would Eat My Face. And outgoing Vice President Kamala Harris didn't lose the election, in so much as she never really had a chance, because Harris ran a campaign and Trump runs a cult. No, family. This whole thing is rigged. It's rigged, family. And the main thing that we must do is prepare to get our ass up out of here. The hell we're trying to reason with them. They have no ability to reason. There is a difference. Let me explain. Trump runs for the White House was filled with hate. In fact, he ran an empty vessel that could be filled with whatever hatred those who love him hold. He had no policy, no agenda, no cliff notes, nothing. He literally took to the stages and freestyled a running message of hate and fear. Haitians are eating your pets. Immigrants are raping and murdering your women. That spoke to middle America's bigotry. And in turn, that was all he needed for a return trip back to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, which is ridiculous. In a real logical, sane world, there should be no way in hell that that son of a bitch, that flat-ass, stanky mother, could have run again after what he did the first time. January 6th should be in the minds of all these people, but of course, they tried to steal the election from him. But he stole it. Literally, he stole it. Anytime, 5 days before the actual vote count and the people are eligible to vote, he said, don't go to vote. Don't. I don't need your vote. I got all the votes I need. Because he had Elon Musk. That's why Elon Musk can do whatever the hell his stankin' ass can do without being reprimanded or being kicked out of the White House. It's misguided to argue all the things that Harris could have done different. And yes, there are things she could have done to pick up votes. Even if she received all of Jill Stein's votes, she still wouldn't have won. But the line was drawn when the man was running against, held a 30-minute dance party nearing the end of his candidacy, and at one point imitated giving fellatio. At one point he did. Giving some head to the microphone, and none of this stopped those who love him from voting for him. None of it. None of it. What's worse is that European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, they knew it. They were in on the joke. Trump wasn't just destroyed in the only debate that he and Harris had. He was exposed. He was devoid of a plan and incoherent without an audience. He was merely a jester without a court. He was reduced to being an old man yelling at fast cars driving down his block. If America actually wanted real governance, then this election wouldn't have been close. If they wanted real governance, this election wouldn't have been close. But America has spoken. That's right. America has spoken. And what they elected is all the fears that fuel the survival of sundown towns and the end of affirmative action. America voted to blow itself up from the inside, and it's hard to root for an America that doesn't want to right the ship. But would you rather drown everyone, even if they died in the process, then at least they'd kill those they hate. So now we wait for the implementation of Project 2025. We all know what's coming. The Confederacy of the dunces that make up Trump's cabinet and the nonsensical, almost comical, if the balance of the free world wasn't at stake, press conference that we know await. So this series isn't just to chart the devastation that we are sure will ensue. It's also a mental health check-in to make sure that we are all going to make it. It looks at all of the ways this new administration will plan to destroy us and all the ways that we can fight back. It looks at how we got here and how we can get out of here. Well, I don't know about this damn article, but damn it, I know how we can get out of here with our right minds. There ain't shit that we can do to change the direction that this place is going. But make no mistake about it, it's going to be tough. There will be bumps and bruises, but I promise you, ride with me. There will be snacks. And who doesn't like cookies, especially as the world we know, the one thing we all brought into it, is crumbling around us. Stephen Crockett wrote that for HuffPost. He also writes for the Washington Post and the San Jose Mercury News, Stephen Crockett. Yeah. Give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Good afternoon, Jay. What's happening?
Nothing much, man. Nothing much.
Okay.
Same old. Just witnessing and observing what's going on, man. I tell you, man, I can't get over how this country has allowed this cracker to do the things that he's doing, and they letting him get away with it. I don't understand it. I guess the shakeup may come when they start kicking white folks out of the nursing home. I think that may be the thing.
You think that might do it, huh?
Yeah, I can't, because if it hasn't happened yet, then I just can't. Mm-hmm. I can't see it, man. I was looking at something earlier, and they was talking about how they rounding people up, mm-hmm. sending them to the most brutal prisons in the world, in El Salvador, and they haven't been gang members or anything. And believe me, if mm-hmm. they go into that prison, they definitely getting brutalized. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. That's the most barbaric prison in the world, man. I mean, the conditions there are, mm-hmm. I've never seen nothing like it. But the reality, it just seems, man, that these two individuals, one's a psychopath. Mm-hmm. And the other one, the narcissist, are in a position to basically destroy the country so that they could have what? Something they could never spend. That's the thing that frustrates me the most, is because, you know, I got a little bit of money. I ain't got their type of money, but it amazes me how I have enough in assets where I don't think by the time, unless I live another 30 or 40 years, I'm going to be able to spend it. So then what happens? I'm leaving it to kids that don't even need it because they got their own. So imagine if I'm in that small position, what type of position must and them are in? To where you can't even say, you know, you can't even spend the money. And I'm a person that I basically have everything that I want. If I want to go buy something, I could go buy it straight out cash and not think about it. But just imagine these individuals have so much wealth and money that there's nothing basically that they can't buy, and they still want more and more and more, and in the process will hurt people who don't have nothing.
Right.
How is that humanity?
So that's no, because that, they're not humane. Of course, you know, Jake, they're not humane. What do I say all the time? Caucasians, they're about what? They're about what?
Greed, obstinance.
Individualism. Started off like
individualism
this.
Individualism beyond selfishness.
Right. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. Greed. That's who they are. And they don't give a damn about anybody else but themselves.
Yeah.
So they're willing. Sure, go ahead, Jay.
Hold on one second, Eric. The only reason I say this is because my mother's in the nursing home now.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that if this gets funky and get crazy, she ain't got nowhere to go. They we can't take care of her. And they don't think, and I'm a person with some resources, so I could be able there to help hire somebody, all right? But think about all of these black and white folks, and more white folks than black folks,
of course,
if truth be told.
Sure.
That now going to be in that situation where they can't go to their kid's house. So what do you do with them? Do you put them in the street? And the question becomes, this is the narrative that people never think about. How do you justify in a so-called humane society? Go ahead, Irv, I'm finished.
You're right on point. But what I wanted to say, Baba Oshie, if you don't mind, it's really, the reality is this ain't about money for Trump and Elon. Money is the last thing on their list. What this is about is power. You understand? And you know how these white folks are. They had us as slaves, where they didn't have to pay us, but that wasn't enough for them. They had to dominate us. They had to dominate not only us, our legacy. You notice Trump didn't come. He came for Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson dead. Because it's not Jackie Robinson that he's trying to erase. He's trying to erase your history out of your mind. Baba Oshie, am I on the right track here?
Yeah, of course you
are. They're coming for your mind. They're coming, but they don't give a damn. You are just a chess piece on a board that they control. And as long as you stay in this country, you're on that board. As long as he ain't moving Burkina Faso, he ain't moving Mali, they growing their own food. They take care of their own food.
He's going after South Africa.
Come
now
on,
that's telling to me.
He can't. South Africa. See, the thing about Africa is Africa is the breadbasket of the world. It may not look like it.
It could be.
Africa will rise again because Africa never fell. Africa was the one that brought the Europe back from World War II. Where did they get all their minerals from after World War II? They spiced up Africa because they knew that's where the minerals were.
That's
but
right.
Now Africa has awakened, and Africa is actually the most powerful continent in the world right now.
Yes.
And they're moving themselves and positioning themselves because they're arming themselves. Once you get an army, the first thing Burkina Faso did was take over the military because you're fighting people with a military.
That's
and they're
right.
not going to drop, and let's be clear, they're not going to drop a nuclear bomb because their nuclear bomb will affect them. See,
you never know what the white man is. Never know the type of narcissistic psychopath that he is if he may at some point decide when he thinks that he's defeated, say, let's blow shit up. You never know with him. You would hope that he wouldn't. You would pray that he wouldn't. But knowing his nature and what he has already done, It ain't no telling. It's just like we don't even realize it. But in the next 5 years, and it may be sooner, you're going to have a serious showdown between China, America, and Mexico. Because the Chinese are now building a canal that's going to cut the time going from Asia to this hemisphere. And it's right there in Mexico where they're building it. That's why, you know, one has to now question, why is this clown talking about taking over the Panama Canal? Because the reality is, if China and Mexico are able to do what they're able to do, it's going to change the whole dynamics in this region in regards to trade. Because you and I both know, the one thing about the Chinese is they'll give you a better deal than America ever will. And the thing is, these other Latin countries, like you said, on Africa and other places, they're wising up. You're getting older. You're maturing. You're seeing things. You're growing. You're developing. So America's threat is not really the threat that people make it out to be. Now, yeah, they could go and they could take over Panama. Cool, take it. But the thing is, I don't think they'll be able to go take over Mexico.
They ain't gonna take over Mexico. They ain't gonna take over Panama. They ain't gonna take over Canada. The bully ball, this bully is gonna be through. Let me get. Yeah. Good afternoon, my brother. How you doing, Brother Paul?
Grand rising. Good afternoon. How are you, sir? How are you, Brother Irv? How are you? Hey, how's everybody?
We're doing all right, dear brother.
Good.
Absolutely. I want you to do much more than all right. I want you to strive, and I want you to thrive, and I want you to fulfill your fullest potential every moment of your life.
I say.
That's what we all have to do, you know. Life is the most important thing we got, and we're in the present. Mm-hmm. So we got to make the most of it, you know.
That's right.
You know, Baba Ochi, I was thinking when you were talking, and do you know what? I can't verify this. It's crazy, man. But I know I read it somewhere. My mom always used to make reference to Notre Dame. You know this character called Notre Dame?
Sure do.
Not Notre Dame. Notre Dame, is it not? Yeah, Notre Dame.
Yeah, Nostradamus of the 16th century, the 1500s. Yeah, a soothsayer.
Yeah, and he used to make all these prophecies,
predictions,
yeah?
Right, in these quatrains,
I did read this somewhere, man, but I've never been able to verify it again. So I know I didn't imagine it. I read it somewhere. One of his predictions was that Europe would attack America. That was one of his predictions. And I used to say this on the radio, and everybody go quiet, like as if it's some crazy madness idea. But you know what? I did read it somewhere, and I can't find it on the internet, but I read it. I know my mom used to have this book on Notre Dame, all these predictions. I might have read it in there. But the bottom line is, what I'm saying is, you can see it today. If you listen to how these people are talking today, and I've never heard them talk like that, they're saying things like, are we now ready to consider America as an enemy? They're saying that on these radio programs, you know what I mean? And, you know, the reality of it is that, like a friend pointed out to me, well, I said it to a friend, and he said to me, well, what did the English do? And he made me realize something. He said, well, what did the English do when they left? You understand? This has been a very funny relationship going on. And, you know, would they annihilate each other? Of course they would annihilate each other. Of course they would. I mean, for anyone to think they wouldn't, you got to be out of your mind. These people will annihilate each other. If you look at the history of this place in Europe, they've been doing this, killing each other from day one. And I mean murder off each other.
Yes.
These people will murder off their own family. They don't care. You think for 1 minute they would annihilate everything. You know, we had this prime minister come in. What's her name again? I forget her name. Just before Boris Johnson, Theresa May. Theresa May.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I never saw this before. She done a speech in the House of Parliament, yeah? And I've never seen another prime minister do this, but for some reason, they broadcasted this speech. And she was asked a question. She gave the detail how these nuclear weapons work. And apparently, they hold a key. They hold some key on this nuclear submarine. And America holds the same, some connection with America. So what they're saying now, if America was taken out, then they must take out whoever America's take out and vice versa, right? And so one of the Scottish ministers of parliament asked her, as a woman, he said to her, are you prepared to annihilate women and children, et cetera, yeah? And without even any hesitation, Theresa May, she said, yes. This is in parliament. She said, yes. Now, here's a woman in the world. She's ready to annihilate everything on the planet, right? If she has to do that, right? But bearing in mind, this woman's got no children. I mean, Theresa May, she was a prime minister, she had no children. She was married to a millionaire, and I think she's a millionaire. No children. So she said that without hesitation. So I want you to realize these people will annihilate everything on this planet. But you know, that I've known that always. I don't know why people don't understand that, but I always know that. You can just watch their behavior. But look, the reality of it is this, right? For me, more importantly, it seems like we, because for me, it always comes back to the mirror, looking in the mirror. And I take the responsibility and try and allow my myself the ability to respond. And like it's been pointed out, that's a mental thing. That's a mind thing. And I can't allow these people to have control over my mind all the time and direct the narrative. See, what I'm getting at is that it's always going to come back down to yourself. It's always going to come back down to the individual. We don't even in our conversation talk like we ever going to have control over anything. We don't even talk that way. We just talk so subservient that we're going to be in this position forever.
Right.
And it's quite frightening, really. And it kind of tells, and if I didn't know what I knew and I didn't spend my time looking at our story, I'm not going to call it his story, I'm going to call it our story. If I didn't spend my time actually studying our story, I would fall for the narrative too. I feel that these people have got the ultimate control of us and there's no way out of this situation. But I don't feel like that, because I know it's always going to be down to your mindset and who you really are. And if you know who you are, our purpose, we are the caretakers of this planet. A lot of us have forgotten of this. You know, last thing I'm going to say, for you, you're going to identify yourself as African-American. That's what you're going to identify, American-African. You're going to do that all the while. But the truth of the matter is, you're bigger than that. You're more than that. And I don't think a lot of you realize that. You're more than that. You didn't come into the world as an African-American or American-African. Before you even came into this world, you had a divine destiny, a divine purpose. Not just to work for these people and slave for them and beg them for everything, vote in their systems and go through their schooling, falling systems. That wasn't your really purpose. You are divine to the whole planet, not just a little part of the planet called America. The whole planet is yours, but most of you don't even realize that. You don't speak like you even know that. You understand? It's not just because they put a little red, white, and blue flag up and call it America that's your whole ultimate destiny. No. America was only created the other day. It was only created the other day. It's only a child in the scheme of things. It's a child. It's an adolescent child in the scheme of things. That's why it's behaving like it's there. It's still in its adolescence. You know what? Behaving like it's been here forever. It hasn't. It has not. But your DNA has been here forever, but you just don't seem to realize it. Thank you very much.
All right, Brother Paul. Anybody else want to jump in?
Wow, Baba Oshi. That was interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He made some very interesting points, and he is absolutely correct about the youthfulness of the U.S. I remember Farrakhan said something to one of the guys on 60 Minutes. He was shitting all over Nigeria, you know, for con artist stuff they were doing, and he said, but this country is a young country. You know, you ain't that old. America's been here for years, and we've been killing and raping and pillaging people for years. So he's absolutely right about that, Baba Oshi. But, you know, listen to what we're talking about. We're talking about destroying the whole world. We're talking about because this guy has taken people to this place. This administration has taken this. But Baba Oshi, it seems like this has always been the case. It just was in the background. But don't think Biden is in love with black people. It's the same guy that wrote the crime bill to send y'all to jail, which a lot of people are still in jail because of what he did.
So nobody is in love with black people.
No, not even black people are in love with black people, okay?
My conditioning is conditioned.
Sure.
My point is, we have to understand that the reason we speak and think the way we do is because we have been indoctrinated and conditioned for this. I've been learning about George Washington all my life. I never seen him. He never came to my school and said nothing. Abraham Lincoln, I can keep saying it. Because we are, and we have stepped outside of the box. You, myself, anyone who calls this show is conscious. If you take the time out your day, because you can be anywhere in the world right now. You don't have to be sitting here listening to what's time for an awakening and African perspective. You could be out doing whatever you do, but you decided to be here to hear this information to strengthen your resolve. That's what this is about. This is about strength, because African people are strong people. Come on now. The white man came to Africa and just started taking things and saw naked women, lost his mind, went crazy, and Africa is rising. That is something that people, you don't see it on the news. They don't come on CNN. They don't on your, CNN talk about what's going on in Africa. Let's talk about that. But they don't believe. I did see a commercial about flying to Italy. Going on the rivers and shit. Man, I don't want to go to Italy. I want to go to my homeland. But they don't even. We black people don't even call Africa their homeland. Everybody else has one, but we don't. Why is that, Baba Oshie?
No, because we do, because of the brainwashing, because of the indoctrination that we have experienced over these many centuries and these many decades, particularly in the last 30, 40 years. And so they understood that this awakening that we had in the 60s had to be disrupted. Because after the civil rights of the early 60s, realizing that that ain't going to get it, what do? We tore some shit up. We start tearing some stuff up and making some serious demands. And so the government started saying, well, got to give some affirmative action and let them get into some of these schools and so forth. Let us do this, that, and the other. All this stuff that at this moment in time are being dealt with by Trump.
The thing is this, though. They give it to you, and then they take it away from you.
Yeah.
And the Negro is puzzled by it. Now, what would make you think that someone like a Trump wouldn't come along and do what he's doing, knowing the fact that this is a white man's country?
Yeah.
And that they perceive it to be for white
yes.
people. So we're about,
because that's what it was, wasn't it?
They go after and they go around all of these things, DEI and all of the other nonsense. But the reality is, black people still don't think that they want black people. When this is all said and done with this immigration, I guarantee you, they gonna make it to where black people ain't gonna be here.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they may start with the Babalui,
mm-hmm.
but I can guarantee you, and you know it better than I do, they gonna come after black folks. Black folks gonna get caught up in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just a matter of when is it gonna happen. But they just set the guidelines in play. They just figured out how much can I get away with. And the thing that's really the most dangerous thing of it all is this. They now are at the point where they will bypass the rulings of the court.
Of course.
So I'm just waiting for
of course
something that they don't agree with that comes from the Supreme Court, and they tell Roberts and them to F yourself, because you know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. It's just, the case hasn't gone into the court yet. All of this stuff that he's done in the last 60 days hasn't hit the court, the Supreme Court yet. I don't think they've dealt with not one case yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be there within the next maybe three or four months. And when they rule against him and he doesn't capitulate and do what he's supposed to do, then you know where we head. Because the bottom line is, there's things that the lower courts have told them to do in regards to hiring people, giving people back their jobs, and things of that nature that they haven't totally capitulated with. But nobody's really saying nothing about it.
But Jay, let's be clear. What we're seeing now is what our ancestors were seeing in the 20s, the 1800s, the 30s, the 40s. They were seeing the same thing when black men were going to a court and be railroaded. And then the next thing you know, they're swinging from the end of a rope and they're calling that justice. They're taking pictures and cutting off body parts and making his skin into oil and all types of demonic things that these white people thought were normal. Come on now. Mm-hmm. So let's not act like we haven't seen this show before. This ain't nothing new. They're doing what they were taught to do.
They don't think they need us to. But see, that this is the deal. And this is why he'll make the statement that he made about having the South Africans come over to America. First, they white. He want to get as many white people as he want here as he can. But the reality is, and we have to even be honest with ourselves, they don't need us no more.
Right.
White folks don't need black people, because the way that the society is going, it's going in the direction of AI and robotics. So whereby you go into a society where you got to deal with robotics and AI, which will be your labor force, then hey, what do I need your black ass for unless you're super talented?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what becomes of black people is a whole different story. That's where it plays itself out.
Well, see, this is where, Jay, this is where, and those who are listening, this is where leadership, African leadership, comes in. Because we have been trying since we were brought here and then had our minds so disorientated as to who we are. There were some of us who hung on to it. That's why there were parts of Roots that were pretty profound in terms of knowing who you were and not giving up your name, you know. But the reality of it is that we did, and we gave up all that we understood that we were African. And for hundreds of years, that's a long damn time.
Hey, Ocean, can I ask you this question? Could you name me a visionary black leader that black people in this country follow?
That they will follow? We don't follow nobody.
That they follow.
Today?
Huh?
Today?
Yeah, today.
No, we don't follow nobody today.
Okay, so what do that tell you when you ask yourself, in all sincerity and honesty, what is the vision for black folks?
Jay. Because how you propose that, the reality is this. They have shown, we have tried so hard to appeal to a people who can't stand our guts. And right. We really know it, but we continue to do it. Because number one, they gave us a theology that believes that, you know, that Jesus and God will overcome. No, the reality is that we need to close ranks, pull our resources, and do for ourselves. Nobody's coming here to save us but us. But the fact of the matter is, we need to go there to help save ourselves as a people there. And there, I mean Africa. We need to get the hell up out of here. Because it is going to be very tenuous here in the coming years. And even after Trump has expired or been, because once again, this country is headed for self-destruction. It's headed for, I mean, yes, you can say what Trump is doing and Musk is doing, who he understands the apartheid system, which of course was the model, was here in this country, is why those Afrikaners did what they did, the Boers and so forth, the British and the Dutch did what they did in South Africa, because of the model here. here. And so it's not going to happen. And so the American military, which is the military army, when you talked about they're going to go to war, no, they're going to come to some kind of understanding that we're the small group of people on this planet, and we got to defend ourselves against everybody outside of us. That's the reality they came through, that they came to in the right after the 700 years of the Moors controlling things in the western part of Asia, because it's not Europe, because Europe is not a continent. And what happened was they understood when they woke up and had that medieval age into their so-called Renaissance, that they may war amongst themselves, and they do because they're a very warlike people, but we need to come together on those outside of us and control everything. And that's what they have done, and they're continuing to try to do to maintain the dominance and control that they had established. See, so the bottom line is, it is. But the bottom line is that if we don't wake up, then we'll fall victim and we'll go right along with what they have planned. And that's it's right. Our demise.
And you know they planned.
Hold up, Jay. Go ahead, Irv.
If you think that 1 million white folks can't control 30 million other people, look at Africa.
Yes.
Look at Africa.
Yes.
Because they don't beat them up. They take their mind. If all those people there in Africa start running the same way at the same time, they will trample all the white people and run them into the sea. But because you have their mind, I'm British. I'm not African. So the mind is what the fight is for right now. The fight is the fear will wear off because the white people rule through fear. You know what? Trump's a bully. You notice he's a bully. That's why white people don't like him. He's a bully. Well, why didn't you run up on the White House and did nothing? Why didn't you run up there and do it? Because you fear him. And fear is what keeps people in place, along with the indoctrination of their mind.
Carter G. Woodson said it best. When you control a man's mind, you don't have to worry about the actions. If you render a man an outcast, he will be an outcast. If you continue to show them the back door, even when there is no back door, he'll make one for his benefit because of his training. His indoctrination has led him so. It's the mind. So anyway, I got to get out of here, fellas. Me and Kwaku got something to do, man, so I got to get out of here. I appreciate
now, Oshie,
it.
Why don't you, Oshie, you know you just going to sit down and watch the basketball game.
No. No, I really do. That's a good one, though, Jay.
Talk to y'all later, brother.
All right. Have a good weekend, Jay. Take care. Have a good weekend, Paul. Have a good weekend, my brother.
All you got is, man. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you very much, Oshie.
All right. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, Irv. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Thank you, Baba, for always being there, man. Baba Butch, thank you, dear brother. Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right. Peace. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a good weekend. You be safe. See you on Monday. Peace, family.
To understand how important international affairs are to African Americans.